Welcome back to the Making Sense of Money podcast presented to you by P1FCU, where we tackle all the financial topics that matter the most to you. I'm your host, Tanis, and today we're talking about combining your finances with your partner. To help us better understand this topic, we've invited the expert, Hillary Hedrick, a licensed master in social work from River Place Counseling and Wellness. Welcome, Hill.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I was very excited to hear that you were going to be our guest today, because what better prepares you financially than having a baby, right? And you're due any week?
Yes, yeah. We are coming up on the due date here. Very quick.
So you were practicing.
Yes.
Combining finances.
We are actively applying.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to just start with you, kind of where your path with counseling and therapy and where your love came from. You know, when did you decide you wanted to do this?
Yeah. So I feel like kind of a long time ago now, in terms of growing up, I really just wanted to advocate for those who I saw had a hard time advocating for themselves. And as a fellow social worker, that's something that's really important to you when you're getting started, is finding kind of a path that fits you, but also kind of calms your soul in that way. So I looked into social work, and I really liked the different avenues that you could take in terms of variety in jobs and different cultures and people and experiences. So that really drew me into social work. And then once I had been into kind of my bachelor's degree and working in child protection, I really enjoyed the one-on-one experiences that I was having with people. Yeah. And that kind of led me into therapy specifically. And then working with groups kind of led to couples.
Yeah.
And now we're here. Yeah. So.
Well, and I can kind of speak for my friends by saying having you loving to, you know, be a counselor for couples. I mean, it is helpful because you can see how much you do genuinely, you know, care about the betterment of not only a single individual, but how they work as a team, which is really great. Why do you think that money is such a good source of tension in relationships? I mean, in general, of course, but in relationships specifically.
Yeah, I think that honestly, everyone has such a vastly different upbringing and experience with money in terms of their family, the different cultures that they grew up in, their background, whether it's a positive experience with money or negative, all vastly different. And so I think that when you're trying to go through the conversations with your couple, with your spouse, and you're trying to bridge the gap there, it's really hard to have an open and honest conversation about those without getting defensive or making it personal. And mm-hmm. So I think that oftentimes that then turns to tension in the relationship, mm-hmm. and also then leading to just not having the conversation at all.
Right.
Which is really difficult.
Yeah. Or like just avoiding it.
Yes.
I mean, that's easy to do, right? Mm-hmm. And ignorance is so bliss, especially when it comes from budgeting and finances and not being able to afford something.
Right.
Yeah.
Or picking and choosing too. Like if you want something and your spouse doesn't, and then it's how do we choose? Right. It's hard.
It is.
It's like,
hard.
No, I want that.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you get to do this. Yeah.
Yes.
That's when things get a little.
Yes. Messy.
Yes, absolutely. So when couples are thinking about combining finances, what conversations do you suggest that they have first?
Well, starting out, we always like to suggest that couples meet with their EAP, like call their insurance and see if their EAP allows them to meet with a certified financial planner. Mm-hmm. Start with an expert. Start with someone that knows exactly where to go in terms of finances specifically, mm-hmm. and can also teach you the vocabulary to use so that it's not as personal. Mm-hmm. We also talk about having a third party, whether that is a counselor, a therapist, that financial planner, mm-hmm. Meeting with someone from your bank. Mm-hmm. Having another person with you and your spouse tends to just kind of take the heat off of one person or another, and just makes it more of a mutual conversation versus something that is attacking or negative or just uncomfy.
For sure. And that's kind of the role that you take clearly is – you're sitting down with someone and the last thing that you want to do is like even insinuate taking sides at all. That mm-hmm. is one of the biggest things that would be important for a couple to feel comfortable enough to come and talk to you.
Right.
Is you're not wrong. How can we bridge that gap that you guys are having right now?
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, I think that it's really important. It isn't good or bad. And we have to look at money and the conversation around money, or honestly around anything, as how are we going to best suit our family and mm-hmm. our situation? So your way is not right. My way is not right. We're just kind of meshing these two things and trying to find one that works for us.
Right. Got it. What about some healthy ways that couples can handle having different spending or saving habits, which is more common than you think?
It is so common. And it's so commonly not talked about, which is what's really difficult.
I feel like it's taboo, kind of.
It is,
especially when you're comparing yourself. Like in a new marriage, you and I would know that. Like
yes.
comparing to, you know, so-and-so down the street or whatever they have.
Right. Yeah. Well, and keeping up with the Joneses, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that exactly. saying's been around forever, but I think that it's so applicable in that, especially with social media, we see so much, mm-hmm. but really, like, what's behind that? What are the conversations that people are having? And right. 9 times out of 10, it's probably not necessarily based around what's best for the family.
Right.
And that's, I think, why it's so important to talk about it.
Right.
But I always like to talk to couples about discretionary funds. And what that is taking a percentage of your income before you even sit down to do your bills or to take care of anything that way. You have that discretionary fund and you each pull from that. You have a percentage that you take out every single month and you each get that. And that is your spending money. It allows you to have the freedom to buy coffee for your girlfriends if you want to, which we do often, right?
Yeah.
Right. Or pick up the tab at darts, whatever it is.
Right.
It's that money and the freedom to spoil your people or spoil yourself,
right?
But not have to answer to anyone. And that also kind of helps with that parent-child relationship that oftentimes is formed around money and around finances.
For sure.
We don't want to have to ask for permission all the time. That doesn't mean that we're not including our spouse in the conversation or allowing them to voice concerns. Mm-hmm. But that's not, hey, can I have $5 for my lunch, right?
Yeah.
Because that can create totally. Kind of a divide in the relationship.
Yeah, that's an uncomfortable thing to think about. Like,
yeah.
you know, whether or not you're comfortable with doing that or not, everyone is so different, like you mentioned.
Exactly.
That could be something that, like me as a person, I know that I would be like, no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
I'm not asking.
Because it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't.
No one wants to ask like
right.
that.
Right. Absolutely not. So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what is your recommendation? I know everyone's different and mm-hmm. it's not one size fit all, but do you recommend joint accounts, separate accounts, or a mixture of both?
I definitely think that it does depend on the situation
yeah.
and you have to really sit down with your partner, with that financial planner, with a counselor or therapist, someone that can give you that third party, unbiased opinion,
mm-hmm.
but sit down and figure out what works for you, what works for your finances, what works for your budget, but also what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
I think that there is a little bit of a stigma around having separate accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that's the only way that they can do it and have a functioning financial relationship and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that when you have that discretionary fund, you're able to have the freedom to spend your own money
mm-hmm.
without having that affect your finances. And so that kind of gives you the best of both worlds.
Right.
So that's kind of why we really hit on how can we have that percentage of this and meet the needs of our family?
Right. All while communicating and being on the same page about
yes.
that.
Yeah.
Like what percentage.
Which is hard.
It really is. Goodness. I'm not even going to pretend like it's not because it totally is. And it's just, it all boils down to that communication too because mm-hmm. it's just, it is something that's tough to talk about. But mm-hmm. that is one of the most intimate things you can talk about in a relationship, you
yes,
know?
Yes, it is.
So this is all really good stuff. And you know, some tools you've kind of mentioned a few already, but is there any tools or steps simple steps even that someone could take right now that would strengthen their communication around finances?
I really like to take certain conversations that can be more, say, business-like mm-hmm. out of the home. Mm. It's really common to talk about money or finances or hardships in your most comfortable spaces, right? Like your living room or the bedroom. Mm-hmm. But those are also your comfortable spaces, the mm-hmm. places where you go to feel safe and heard and warm. And so I like to say, let's plan a business meeting. Let's go get coffee. Let's take mm-hmm. it to a restaurant. We can have these discreet conversations outside of the home. And it also allows for people to be a little bit more, I guess, a little bit less casual about it because sure. it does become a business meeting. It's not you versus me. It's how are we going to work together
yeah.
to make this function for our family?
Yeah.
So kind of taking the pressure off that way.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, making that business meeting, taking it outside of your home, I think would be something that would be beneficial to try at mm-hmm. least. It doesn't yeah. work for everyone, but it might be helpful. And then another one is using your EAP, mm-hmm. Your employee assistance program, to meet with that certified financial planner, someone that knows the words, yeah. that knows the information.
Don't be afraid to ask the stupid questions yes. that you're afraid to ask. That's yeah. one big thing I've learned.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people hold all of that in because they're so worried about looking dumb, not yeah. only to another person, but to their partner.
Totally.
Because this is vulnerable.
Absolutely.
So I love that you said that like that.
Yeah. And to your point of like a business meeting, I saw on TikTok, I saw
love it.
A couple of you do that. And they're like, Sundays are our sit down. We get grandparents, the babies take the grandparents.
Yes.
They go and they sit down and they schedule out their week, their month or whatever. They do, you know, money talk or whatever that looks like
right.
or things upcoming or whatever. And I think that's such a cool thing because you're also connecting. Like it
for
might not
sure.
be a fun date, but you're like still spending time with your person and you're like, wow, this is the first time I've looked in your face for a long time.
Well, and having that like undivided attention where yeah. no one is interrupting you, like kids aren't yeah. coming up to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can really attest to that.
Yeah.
I'm soon going to figure yeah. out what that's
right.
like, but
right.
that's hard. Mm-hmm. And life is not conducive to having these difficult, intimate conversations.
Right.
It doesn't give you this like set time and you're not born with the information, right? Like
yeah.
we all just kind of figure it out.
Right.
And sometimes we grit and bear it until we figure it out. And if we can mitigate some of that,
mm-hmm.
gosh, yeah. why make it harder than it is?
Exactly. Exactly. That's great. So what would you say is one thing you wish every couple knew about money and relationships?
Like we said earlier about comparison mm-hmm. and noticing, you know, what other people have or what someone drives or the home that they are living in. I think that it's really important that we as humans in general normalize that everyone struggles. Our path is not linear. We don't just constantly work our way up. We are going up and down all the time. We are having hard conversations. We are going back to those hard conversations because they didn't go well the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really important that we hit on the fact that life is messy. Life is stressful. It's expensive. It's also beautiful and wonderful, and our experiences are all unique.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can never compare.
Almost like wasting time worrying about little things that just really don't matter.
Yes.
Like just enjoy life.
And if you're enjoying like the conversation that you're having with your partner or the right. life that you're living with them,
yeah,
that's what's important.
Right.
And
easier said than done.
It is. And that's, yes, like yeah. we preach all these things, but we also actively practice them in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. And it's something that I remind myself daily, if mm-hmm. not multiple times a day, that, you know what, sometimes I might really, really want that thing. But at the end of the day, it's not the thing that makes me happy. Like
right.
if I'm going home to my partner and my my baby is safe and healthy and my family mm-hmm. is all here and well, that's what's important.
Absolutely.
So,
and it's cool to hear that coming from, you know, a mental health professional, and then also like knowing that you practice it daily. Like, that's reassuring to so many people. And surrounding yourself with people who hold you accountable and, like, yeah. you know, derail
as
you.
As one of those, no, as one of those people that helps keep me on track, though. Yeah. And, like, yeah. you know, you are someone that really pushes me. And, hey.
Oh, my gosh.
What have you done for yourself? Or yeah. how can yeah. I help you
or
do
like,
this?
It's okay, you know?
Yes.
Like, it's good to surround yourself around people who – make sure you know that it's okay and you aren't far off by this.
Like, right.
Who cares if you don't have the boat or the whatever? You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
Like, who cares? But that's something that, yeah, you have to practice individually because mm-hmm. it is a lot easier said than done.
It is. And I also really try to remind couples too, I think it's easy to see someone sitting in the chair and you're talking about, you know, a situation or, you know, I'm mm-hmm. able to see something that they didn't see. I'm not in it.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're not in my stuff either.
Right.
And so we all struggle. Mm-hmm. We all have hard times. We all make a bad financial decision. And yeah. we all have to figure it out.
Right. Absolutely. Well, what about you personally? What is something that you wish you would have known about money earlier in life?
I think that something that I really wish that I would have known earlier on is – that it's okay to set that money aside for the nurturing of your relationship. Mm. I think oftentimes when life gets going and things get crazy and kids come and big purchases happen, it's easy to not go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. It's easy to not schedule the trip or the weekend away because it seems like there's too much going on. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. Mm-hmm. And something that my husband does a really good job at reminding me is that planning for the future is really important. And that's one part of it. Mm-hmm. But we started out as dating and spoiling each other and loving each other.
Yeah.
And it's really important to continue to do that. And he's not licensed.
Yeah. You're like, noted.
Right. There are certain things where I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
I should use that in a session.
You're like,
because
you want a job?
That's great advice.
That's amazing.
And that's something that, too, I've heard multiple clinicians talk about is, wow, how long has it been since I've done that with my spouse?
Totally.
And
absolutely.
So checking in, how can I nurture that relationship? How can I spend that little bit that we have right now, mm-hmm. how can I make it go the furthest?
Yeah. So. Yeah. For the experience.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you answered so many good questions and you gave us a lot to think about. I'm very thankful to have you here and share a little bit of your brain power with the rest of us who might be needing just that little tip or trick or tool in our relationship. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
I was honored to be asked. So
thank you. And thank you to everybody for tuning in. We hope you learned something new today and feel one step closer to making sense of money. Don't forget to check out our newsletter and subscribe at p1fcu.org. We'll see you next time.